You are now listening to Coach with your host, Kyle Terrell. The best place to go for teaching you how to train your body into the condition you've always wanted.
Guys, I can't tell you how great this podcast is. I got the opportunity to record with Michael Ashford. Michael Ashford heads up the Fit Dad Fitness podcast. He also has a great website as well with a ton of resources. Man, it was such an honor to hear this guy. I had been following him on social media for quite a while and decided, you know what, I'm going to reach out to him and see if he'd like to be on the podcast. Super accommodating, great guy. You know, I had so much respect for him at the beginning, and by the end, it literally, you know, tripled, quadrupled, 10 times what I knew about Michael. And I have so much respect for him now and how he runs his life and where he came from. And that's the things that we get into. So it's really interesting. So first, we talk about just his story, Fit Dad Fitness. We also talk about celiac disease, how that runs in his family, which is, if you guys don't know, it's kind of a reaction to gluten. And so that has been passed down to him as well, and his discovery of that. But we also have a good conversation on just natural whole foods, just in the grocery store and things like that, things that you should buy. And he gives some great advice on that as well. So I can't wait for you guys to listen to this podcast. Before we get started, I have free guides available. And so what these free guides are, I have one called Master Nutrition List. And basically, this is kind of what I used to sell people to get them started with any sort of nutrition plan. And so since I don't sell a nutrition plan, it's different for everybody. I think we know that. This is a great start for you. And so I spent a lot of time putting this together. I want to give it to you for free. And then also I have another guide of how to get the best use of your time in the gym. So how do you get the best results in the gym in less time? That's also a guide. You can get that right now. If you actually click in the show notes of this, you can find that. Otherwise, you can find that also on my link in my bio on my Instagram page. Go ahead and go over to my username. It is Kyle_sometimes_fitness. Again, that's Kyle sometimes fitness. You can find all the resources, guides, even my workout playlist on there as well. But without further ado, here is my interview with Michael Ashford of Fit Dad Fitness. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Coach Podcast. My name is Kyle Terrell. I am your host. And with me today, I'm really excited. I have of the Fit Dad Fitness podcast, Michael Ashford is with me, as you heard in the intro. Michael, how are you doing?
Kyle, I'm doing well today, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well. I really appreciate you coming on just after our conversation, or actually the few conversations that we've had over the last week or so. You know, I've learned a little bit about you, and you really stood out to me. And I said, man, I have to have this guy on. I mean, he just got such a great story. And just to learn more about, you know, more about how you came to be where you are today. And so, yeah, man, why don't we just start there? You know, can you just kind of briefly share your story with us and kind of let us know what you're about? And then I got a few topics that I want to go over with you.
For sure. And thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate the kind words. Let's see, my story. Well, I was born in Manhattan, Kent. No, I won't go back.
You go way back. Oh, that's great.
No, man, let's, I mean, for sure. I mean, with everything with Fit Dad Fitness, I think obviously I'll start with that. But I guess to back it up maybe a little bit, I should mention married to my wonderful, beautiful wife of 11 years now. We have two incredible children, my son Luke and my daughter Alexandra. We live in Colorado. It is about the best place that I could ever imagine living, and I never want to leave. And it's perfect for our lifestyle. We'd love to be active. We love to be outdoors. We love to be just a fit, healthy family, and Colorado suits our lifestyle perfectly. And, you know, for me specifically, you know, kind of a story of transformation, I guess, in that, growing up, I was always the fit, athletic, skinny guy who never really had to try much to be that way and never really had to watch what I ate. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for good genes, good genetics. But, you know, skinny doesn't always necessarily mean healthy. And certainly, I, not looking back on it now, I felt that way. And for me, my fitness journey really started back in 2012 when, and I've told this story so many times, but, you know, I was on a business trip in Ocean City, Maryland with my wife and my son. My daughter wasn't born yet at the time. My wife took a picture of us walking on the beach. I'm there holding my son's hand and I see the picture and I say to myself, this is not right. I don't like how I look. I don't like how I feel. Everything that I, that moment, that picture encapsulated just some deep guttural angst, perhaps, that I knew I wasn't living the life that I wanted to lead, that I knew I needed to lead if I wanted to be there for my family for as long as possible. And so, yeah, since then, you know what, it's 6+ years now, I have thrown myself into health, fitness, nutrition, not only for myself, but making sure I set that example for my family. And most recently for other dads and helping to encourage fathers to use fitness as the foundation for being involved in their kids' lives for as long as possible in every way possible.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, I've definitely felt the weight of that too. And that was a big reason that I wanted you on is because, you know, I just became a dad a year ago. And so I've been married to a wife for, you know, for just a few years now. But yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the reasons that you stood out. And I think over time, you know, especially moms and dads, it's we don't really realize how we feel until something happens, until you see a picture like you saw. And so I want to ask you about that. I mean, when you saw that picture, how did you reflect on kind of what you were feeling like? So, well, for instance, so you said that you didn't like the way you looked and that you didn't like the way you felt. What is that? I mean, what does that mean? How can you translate that to somebody that doesn't, that's been out of shape for 5 or 10 years and doesn't really know the difference?
Yeah, great question, man. I think first and foremost, obviously, the fact that I was looking at a picture and guys tend to be very, very visual creatures. The first thing, obviously, that I my reaction was, man, I'm really skinny. I have no muscle definition. I don't look like I want to look as a guy. I mean, you want to have maybe not competition ready bodybuilding style muscles, but you want to have that physical stature. And certainly as the protector and provider of a family, I think a lot of guys identify with that desire as well. Like I want to look like I can protect my family. And certainly holding in that picture where I'm holding my son's hand, kind of the weight of that moment struck me as well. Like, am I setting the example for my son that I want to? Am I showing him an example of what, you know, it means to live a healthy and active life? And so while I may be skinny, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't always mean healthy. And, mm-hmm. you know, in just spending some time reflecting on that after I saw the picture and kind of thinking to myself, well, why did I have such a visceral reaction to that photo? Cause it was like, it upset me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so just taking some time to reflect on that and thinking, why did I feel that way? You know, I started to understand I'm kind of being lazy. I'm skating by. I'm not doing the things that in one way I say mean a lot to me. I like being active. I like being healthy, but am I just getting by on a high metabolism? And at what point will that no longer serve me well? So it was just a lot of self-reflection over the next, you know, few hours after that picture. And I made up my mind right then and there, like, this is changing. As soon as we get back home, I'm joining a gym. I'm starting to work out. I'm going to put on muscle. I'm going to shape and mold my body. But more than that, I'm going to be fit holistically, 360 degrees. I'm going to look at everything that I'm doing and be fit.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you from that moment? And you said, look, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to start lifting. I'm going to start eating, you know, better than what I've been doing, treating myself better. How long did it take you before you saw another picture of yourself and you go, oh, okay, you know, I'm not completely satisfied, but okay, I feel like I'm healthy enough. I feel like I can set that example. I don't know, was it 6 months, 9 months, 12 months?
I would probably say it was about 8 to 10 months later where I was, funny enough, at another conference, this time without my family. And, you know, I was by the pool and snapped a picture and I looked at it. I was like, you know what? I can see some changes here. Like I can actually see that I have shoulders. I have delts. Like I have biceps. I'm starting to see the lines of some chest definition. It's, and more than that, I had been paying a lot of attention over those, you know, 8 to 10 months about how I felt, how I was sleeping, what my energy level was like, because I knew those things were likely to change. And I felt all of that improving. And yeah, the 10-month picture really kind of said, okay, I'm starting to do something right here.
Wow. You know, and I think a lot of people think that, okay, you know, because the tendency is to, hey, let's get ready for summer and let's start in May.
Yeah.
Going, oh no, yeah, you know, I'm a month out. And, you know, until you've really done it and made that change and stuck with it, you really don't realize how long it takes to make that change. And really 8 months isn't that long, I mean, in the grand scheme of life. But when you're trying to explain it to a client or somebody that's just starting out, you know, I think examples like yours really, really stand out because, I mean, like you said, you were kind of in that skinny fat phase, right?
Yeah.
Kind of not any muscle definition, anything like that. And it took you 8 months to build that up and you had a history of it, you know, being an athlete.
Yeah.
And so that's what's interesting. You know, I think just being real with people and saying, hey, look, you know, this is going to take you a while, but look what you're going to learn in the next 8 months, you know, look at it from a knowledge perspective on just your quality of life. And so you've done well at that. And I remember you had told me as well that you were, that you had dealt with some intolerances. And this is something I'm really big in as far as gut health and just being aware of what's going on in your body and how you feel. And I think you mentioned you had an intolerance to was it gluten?
Yes.
Okay. So how'd you find about that?
Well, and finding this out was really what I would say catapulted me forward, but it took about 2 years. So a little bit of backstory. My mom has dealt with a variety of issues all her life regarding her gut health, skin issues, just brain fog, you know, all of these kind of things. And she had tried to go dairy free. She had tried a bunch of different ways to get over this. She thought she was allergic to lactose. And so, you know, like I said, went dairy free and she just kept trying stuff. She would go to the doctors, nothing really helped. And so she was kind of getting frustrated and upset. And at one point, I think if I remember correctly, had ended up in the hospital, nothing serious, but she was just really frustrated as to why her body seemed to kind of be shutting down a little bit on her. And she finally got to a doctor who said, well, have you done any sort of intolerance testing? Have you done any sort of blood work to see if you're allergic to anything or if your body just can't handle things like eggs or dairy or, and then he mentioned the word gluten and my mom had never heard of that word. And so she went and ran a bunch of tests. And the thing about gluten is to truly test for it, to see if you have an allergic reaction to it, you either have to do a diet where you pull back on a lot of things. And then I can't think of what the phrase is or what the word is right now. Elimination diet. That's it. Mm-hmm. You either have to do an elimination diet or you have to get a very specific blood test done. And she got the blood test done, and it came back that she has full out celiac.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. And yeah. And so she immediately got off of that, and her world completely changed. And so she had understood, and she felt this change, and we all saw it in her as well. She was able to put on weight. You know, she had always been very underweight. She was able to put on weight. She was able to eat ice cream. She was able to do all of these things. And so she started talking to us three kids. I have two sisters. And she said, you know, this can be passed down. This can be hereditary. You all need to go get yourself checked. My sisters did. My older sister has a gluten intolerance as well. I never went and got the blood work done, but I did the elimination diet. And it was drastic. And this was going back to something that you mentioned earlier. You never quite understand how bad you feel until you really start to reflect on it or you make changes. Mm-hmm. And I went off of gluten for a week at the request of my mom. And I was like, you know, even if I do this, I'm still going to cheat every now and then. I'm still going to have what I want. You know, there are going to be things that I'm not going to give up. I was pretty stubborn about it, but I went off of it for a week. It was difficult. I was a little bit cranky that week, but Saturday came around and I said, okay, well, I'm going to splurge a little bit right now. I'm done with this. I went through my week. I don't notice that many changes. And I had some takeout Chinese food. This is a place that
there could be anything in that.
Yeah. Now the caveat here, I say that this is a place I had gone and I'd grown up going to all my life, never had issues. It is the best Chinese food in the world. Super fresh ingredients. Like it is top of the line. I was floored for 12 hours after that. I basically couldn't move. And I said, okay, I get it. This is enough for me. I'm done with gluten, and I've been gluten free ever since. And that was about 2014.
Wow. Yeah. You went there your whole life and you never knew. And it's, you know, I was explaining this to my wife the other day. I'm like, imagine if you were just born with like a broken foot and you just walked around on that your whole life, you wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
Or, you know, people that are colorblind. Like I had a buddy that, he was looking at this Hummer one day. Like the car, like when the Hummers first came out, and he showed me this picture, and it was a pink Hummer, and he's like, man, this thing's sweet, isn't it? And he's like, serious as a heart attack, and I'm like looking at him like, dude, it's pink, you know? And I'm like, you really like that, huh? He's like, oh yeah, man, I really want one of these. This is perfect. And I go, Riley, man, you know, that's pink. He's like, oh, well, I'm colorblind. I don't really know the difference. And so that's what I kind of think of.
Yeah.
Is, it just, you don't know. I mean, you just really don't know the difference. And, you know, you were kind of walking around with a crutch your whole life and didn't know it. You just thought everyone felt that way. And so many people go through that in different areas of their life. And it's, you know, that's why I'm, you know, that's why I'm grateful that you're available to be on the podcast and people can really look in and go, okay, well, hey, maybe I have something that's like that or just related to another thing in their life. So thanks for sharing that. I know that's, part of your story, but it's also very encouraging that you can get past, those walls in your life.
It is encouraging. I think for a lot of people because, and let me detail how it changed me, like going gluten-free and not, because what gluten does is it basically wears down the lining of your intestines and things get into your system that shouldn't be there because that lining in your intestine is kind of the barrier between you and the outside world. And so as you consume these foods that wear down your stomach lining, you start to expose more and your intestinal lining, you start to expose your body to things that it's not ready for. And so it attacks those foods, it attacks those proteins, all of that stuff. And it begins to inflame your body. And there are over 250 different ways that gluten intolerance or celiac disease can manifest itself. And for me, it manifested itself in a severe lack of energy, particularly in the afternoons, brain fog. I was, like my mom, incapable of putting on weight, even in a caloric surplus, as we talk about in the fitness industry. I could not put on and keep weight. And, you know, stomach issues in terms of, you know, certain foods would just wreck me. And for years, I had always just thought, well, that's how you feel after a meal like that, but it tastes good.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of other things that I won't go into, but, you know, at one point after I had gone gluten-free, I accidentally ate something with some wheat in it. And just to kind of give you an example of how powerful this inflammation response can be, I started hallucinating.
What?
I was cooking dinner. I had this big old chef's knife in my hand as I was cutting up some chicken breast. And all of a sudden it was, you know, that cinematic effect in the movies where they zoom out the background, but it looks like they're zooming into the person's face.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I felt like that was happening in my kitchen. And all of a sudden my arms and my hands, I couldn't move them real well. Like it was going in slow motion and they seemed like they were 1,000 miles away from me. And I'm sitting here holding this knife and I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't be holding this. So I called my wife in and I said, I got to go lay down. Can you finish dinner for me? And again, that was a couple hours worth of just, I just don't feel right.
Did you know what was going on or did you just think you were having like a panic attack?
I don't even know what a panic attack feels like. So
what it feels like because I've dealt with anxiety. So yeah, man, that's exactly what it's like, out of body. Almost.
Well,
yeah,
I would have never gone there because I didn't know. But I immediately went to, I was like, I just had something to eat. I want to check what's in that. And because I hadn't read the label, because this was still kind of at the point where I was a pretty heavy label reader because I was still learning how to be gluten free. And sure enough, I looked and one of the ingredients in there was whole wheat flour. And I said, that's it. That's got to be what's it.
Man, that's crazy. It was like number one ingredient.
It was nuts.
So what was it? What were you eating? I'm interested.
It was a piece of candy, which was also part of the problem. But
that's why you didn't tell us at the beginning. You just like...
Yeah. I want to say it was Twizzlers. One of the first ingredients is in Twizzlers, and I love Twizzlers, is whole wheat flour.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, people don't eat Twizzlers if you're allergic to gluten.
Yep.
Man, isn't that crazy? It's like in everything. I think I watched a documentary, and it was The Magic Pill. I watched Magic Pill.
I haven't watched it yet. It's on my list.
So good. It's so good. Yeah, I want to watch it again. And they said out of, you know, let's say there's, you know, 60,000 items in a grocery store, like 50,000 of them have some sort of wheat mm-hmm. in them as like a main ingredient. Like crazy. So like
it's insane. Really,
like everything.
It's just, you know, Twizzlers, the one that who knew? The one that blows my mind the most, man, is soy sauce.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now you can get gluten-free soy sauce and all it is soybeans and water and salt, but in quote unquote regular soy sauce, they throw wheat in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
why? Condiment. Like most condiments have wheat in it. I think like Worcestershire probably has. I think it might.
Yeah, it does.
Too.
Yeah.
It's just like, gosh, man, everything. Like you can't get away from it. So
it's
so
insane.
Yeah, you know. And you know what's funny is I used to like with the gluten thing. I know we're going off on gluten trail here, but I'm okay with it.
That's fine with me.
But on the gluten thing, it was so big for so long that everybody thought they had a gluten intolerance.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, people, you know, but now there's so many studies out there that are showing that it's not just having intolerance, that's very inflammatory for your body as well. And so, you know, you said there's what, 250 different ways that it can affect you.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've definitely felt that. I mean, I'll feel more bloated after I eat, you know, something with a ton of, you know, wheat or gluten in it. And I mean, I can definitely feel the effects of that, or even the little catchphrases like, oh man, I need to sit down for a minute after that meal. I mean, that should be a trigger. I think people really need to think about that. Like, what did you just eat? Isn't food supposed to make you feel better and satiated, and it's not
Be
supposed to
fuel
make you
for
feel
your
worse.
body.
Yes, it's not supposed to make you feel worse after a meal. I'm like, maybe you just shouldn't eat that anymore.
Well, and that's the thing too about gluten, and I know a lot of people have a visceral reaction to hearing it, and they think it's a fad or whatnot. The other part of it is you can eat really unhealthy and be gluten free. Gluten free does not equal healthy, and so much of inflammation in our bodies comes from processed carbohydrates, sugars, things that we were never really meant or supposed to eat. That stuff causes so much inflammation in your body. I mean, joint inflammation, stomach inflammation, across the board. And so gluten-free bread is still a processed, refined grain of some sort, or starch.
Well, and there's
So
vegetable oils in there and things like that as well.
totally.
So,
Exactly.
that's just a p you know, gluten's just a piece of it, right? So I
For sure.
totally agree.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, there is a stigma about it, but if you're just looking to eat healthier, it's not necessarily that you have to cut out wheat or gluten or anything like that to reduce inflammation. It's just eating more real whole foods is what it comes down to.
Man, I 100% agree. I mean, that's something that we try to not buy anything processed in the house. That's just kind of our rule. Obviously, because if it's in the house, I'm gonna eat it
Yep, same
100%.
here.
I mean, you buy me some Oreos. I mean, I can say no to them, but there's a heavy chance that that's gonna be gone in a week. So,
Ice cream all day, every day,
oh,
man.
really?
Ice cream.
See,
Yeah.
I'm more of a salty guy. I really like chips and things like that.
Yep.
I've never been big on like sugars, which is weird. So everyone's got their thing. So, but potato chips, done. I mean, I'll eat them all. And that's a ton of vegetable oil and things in there that I probably shouldn't be eating.
For sure. Yeah.
So just can't buy them, I just
I
don't do
know,
it.
right?
Well, hey, so let's talk about Fit Dad Fitness. I really want to learn, obviously more about what your mission is and what your goal is, since you started, first the podcast, second, obviously the business side of it. But when did you start it? I think we kind of know where that sparked from. But I mean, tell us about kind of when you started versus where you are now, and just really like what your mission is for that.
Sure. So 2015, September 2015, so we just passed the 3 year mark with Fit Dad Fitness. And I got to tell you, I never got into the fitness game thinking, that I would become a personal trainer, or that I would, have a fitness related social media account. It was never in the back of my mind. But after a few years, after a couple years of doing this and seeing the results and seeing how good it made me feel, how much time I was spending with my family doing active things and the memories that we were creating, and just seeing the positive effects that it had had in my life, that outward display, I think, is attractive to people. And so I started getting a lot of questions from friends, like, well, what did you do? How did you do this? Can you give me some advice? Can you give me some pointers? And so I thought that kind of began the seeds of, well, do I start something to help people get fit? Now, where the dad thing came along is not quite so positive, I guess. My wife, before she left her career to stay home with our two children after our daughter was born, she was an advocate and a social worker for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault.
It's hard job.
And it's, I mean, she's had two of the hardest jobs in the world, a mother and that. And so naturally, she would come home with stories of men, of fathers, of husbands, just doing and enacting some of the most brutal behavior to the people that they claim to love. And I felt helpless in what I could do. Sexual assault and domestic violence is absolutely a men's issue. And I wanted to find a way, a roundabout way, to kind of circumvent that and you know, meet guys before it ever got to that point and say, look, your family is dependent on you. Your wife, your spouse, your partner needs you there. They need your support. They need your protection and providence. Let's use fitness as a way to maintain healthy relationships. If you are more fit, if you're healthy, you are more confident, you are a more pleasant person to be around, you have more energy, you're happier. It chemically changes your brain and your mindset. And the stories that hit me the hardest, Kyle, were of course the stories of fathers who would abuse and do terrible things to their children. And for me, you know, with two children at the time, it would break my heart. Sometimes I would break down and cry at the stories that I would hear of what these men did.
Oh, and man, it's hard.
It is, man. And so as I started to think about this is the positive change that fitness has produced in my life, and feeling helpless and wanting to do something to combat the epidemic of not only domestic violence and sexual fatherlessness, divorce, everything that has to kind of do with the family. I said, why not marry the two together? And that's how Fit Dad Fitness kind of came about. And I would be remiss if I didn't also mention, man, something that had a major impact on my life at the time as well, is that my own parents went through a divorce. And I this is something I've been thinking a lot about recently, and I hadn't really thought that it had quite the influence that it did, their divorce, as what I think that it has now. Knowing
how old were you?
I would have been about 29.
Okay.
Late 20s.
My parents went through divorce when I was 24.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I'm the youngest of five. So I definitely am relating to that.
Yeah.
Right now as you talk. So yeah.
Yeah. I gotta believe that had a part to play in it too. I mean, my own family, I watched it, what I knew and loved, I watched it dissolve. And even though I was a full grown adult man with a family and kids of my own now to look after and take care of, it still affected me deeply. And so all of that kind of came to a head in September of 2015, where I got it in my head. It kind of all the tumblers aligned and it clicked. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, if you ask my wife, once I get an idea in my head like that, I run with it. And I got a site built in a weekend and started Fit Dad Fitness.
Wow, man. So you were, so you're definitely motivated to just, hey, I feel something bit me, right? Some kind of bug bit me. Let's change things. Let's do things. And I think that's true, man. You know, I'm pretty close, with my father-in-law. And one thing he always says, you know, he was a big Zig Ziglar fan. And so I don't know if you're familiar, obviously, I think a lot of people are with Zig. But you know, one of the things is, you know, make a difference, you know, make a difference. And he always says that. And I understood what he meant, but, you know, logically, but just when he says it with such, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yeah. Make a difference in the lives of those around you. And you've done such a good job at building a good solid following of, you know, guys and probably some girls as well that, you know, can look at you and look up to you and go, look, this is where he was and this is where he is now. But that motivation has just, I wouldn't even call it motivation, it's drive. And so it's always there in every single one of your posts and every single, and just the way that you're talking today. And I can really feel that. And it's, and it's funny, man, I feel like you and me actually went through a lot of the same stuff, you know, which we can get into, you know, on another conversation, but
yeah,
you know, I guess my final question for you is, and I think I know it's coming, but I want to hear you say it again. You know, what drives Michael Ashford? You know, like, what is the driving force? What is in, and I ask this on every podcast. So, you know, what is inside you that ignited that? And why do you think whatever this is keeps pushing you to do this every day, every week?
Well, thank you, first and foremost, man. That means a lot to me.
Of course.
Just to have that kind of work acknowledged. And just one real quick follow-up to what you were just saying. That's why so much of the work that I put out with Fit Dad Fitness is free. I do have clients that pay me. It's not a lot. I don't make a ton of money with Fit Dad Fitness. It's a side passion project. But the resources that I put on my site for free, the things that I make available to dads, the workouts that I post, I respond to every single message that I get, in some way, shape, or form. I just want to be there as a resource for dads and remove excuses from the equation. As much as I can positively push someone in the right direction, towards living a better life for themselves and their family, that's my motivation. It's not money. It's not being recognized. That's where I get it from. And, you know, you asked the question of why or where does that come from? I wrote an ebook about it, to try and explain it. It goes so much deeper than even that ebook, which is called Grow Your Own Tomatoes. But that's the motto that really drives my life. Grow your own tomatoes. And to kind of explain that, and as I've done on a couple podcasts here recently, I love telling the story, because anytime I can share this with a new audience or one new guy hears it, I hope that it can affect them in the way that it's affected me. So if you don't mind, if I share just a little bit.
Of course. Yeah. All yours.
So my grandfather on my mom's side is the greatest man that I will ever know, that I have ever known, continues to influence my life to this day, even after he's been gone from this earth for a couple years now. Just one of the most remarkable men, human beings that has ever walked on this planet. He was a World War II veteran. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was a carpenter. He was faithfully married to my grandmother for 60 plus years. He had an enormous family with grandkids and great grandkids and had a farm, you know, started his own businesses, and was one of the most loyal and hardworking individuals that I've ever known. And he was my hero, quite honestly. And so, you know, one of the things that he was exceptionally good at was gardening. He had this enormous garden on his home in little southeast Kansas in a town of about 50 people. And we would go down there during the summers. He would have his garden. We would walk out in the garden in between the rows and look at all the plants with him. And one day I was out there just with him, he and I, and we were walking through all of the rows just like we normally do. And he was showing off his handiwork to me, and we got to the rows of tomatoes, and I'm talking tomatoes that darn near are as big as a softball and just red. They're amazing. And he looks at me, kind of looks out over the garden, and he looks down at me, and we stop, and he says, "You know, Michael, a tomato given to you will never taste as good as one that you grow yourself." And, you know, at the time, as I've said several times, like, I didn't like tomatoes. I was an 8 or 9 year old kid, and, I thought they were gross. And so I said, "Grandpa, I think they're all gross." And he laughed. Oh, <man. laughs> he laughed. My grandma called us in for the house, into the house not long after, to eat lunch. And he never said another word about it. He never followed up. That was it. It wasn't until I was driving to his funeral just several years ago that those words came back and slapped me across the face. My grandpa, my hero, was not trying to tell me about how to garden a tomato or how a tomato tastes. He was telling me about the value of hard work. In his own way, in his words, in his experience, he was telling me through anecdote, hard work and doing the next hard thing and putting in the time and the commitment and the effort to do something yourself to reap those results will always, always be better than taking a shortcut, than having something handed to you, than taking the easy way out. And he demonstrated that and modeled that for me his entire life. He lived to be almost 92 years old. But those words, as I was driving to his funeral, hit me. They've stuck with me. And that's where it comes from, to answer your question.
Man,
I live my life with the thought process of, I'm going to do the hard thing myself. I'm going to do the hard work. I'm going to make the commitment, the effort, the sacrifice to do what needs to be done for the betterment of other people. And I don't want anything handed to me.
Man, that's really, really, that's really cool. That's really inspiring. Gosh. Man, I feel like I'm just listening to the podcast. I'm not even on it. Gosh, man, that is really, really cool. I'm really glad that you shared that. I'm gonna listen to this.
It means so much to me, man. I mean, it truly does, because like I said, it wasn't just that he said it in that one moment. It was that he demonstrated that value in every single facet of his life, from growing his actual tomatoes in his garden to how he managed his businesses to just everything. I mean, the man could make anything from a scrap of wood and some nails and a hammer. I mean, it was incredible. And he did it himself. He taught it all himself to himself. And just the way he supported all of his grandchildren and encouraged us to get an education, to get a job, and the value that was held in having a job, just everything, man. He demonstrated it. And much like fitness, to relate it back to that, we as dads, we can model the same behavior that we want to see in our kids if we live a healthy, involved, active life with them. If we do the hard thing, if we make the sacrifices now, and if we don't mortgage our future for present happiness and a short-term gain, then we will grow amazing human beings, healthy human beings, active human beings. Our children will grow up and carry that on. They will absolutely model the behavior that we put in place right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, and I absolutely agree. And you'd be, you know, my hope too. I mean, for my daughter, and then also, you know, for the more kids that we have, whether it's one or two or whatever it is, you know, I want to be able to, you know, look at them one day, and you know, to steal what your grandfather said, you know, hey, you know, about the tomato, right? Grow your own tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to do that with my kids as well. And I know for sure. Your kids are going to look, you know, whether it's hindsight or whether it's, you know, something's going to hit them one day, and they're going to realize, you know, that you're so much like your grandfather was too, you know, as much as you've talked about him.
I hope so.
Man, thank you so much for coming on. I really, really have enjoyed this. Gosh, man, I learned a lot, and I feel, man, I feel motivated as hell to go out and, you know, go do something now. So
get it done, man.
Absolutely. I'm going to. Well, man, you know, before we go, let everybody know, you know, how can we find you? What are the best ways to follow you? And then also, you know, how can we get, you know, how can my audience members get in touch with you as well? And, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So the hub of everything is fitdadfitness.com. That's where, you know, I do the featured Fit Dad of the Month. I have free workout guides on there. I've got my blog with a lot of really good information. So go check that out. I've actually just started a twice monthly newsletter there where I'll be sending out just, I hope, a lot of really good, valuable, well-researched information each month, twice a month. So sign up for that if you're interested. All the social media, so Instagram and Twitter is at Fit Dad Fitness. Facebook is Fit Dad Fitness page. And then my big passion project, man, is the Fit Dad Fitness podcast. I love doing it. It is so much fun. The connections, I mean, just you and me talking today is so much fun. I love telling stories of other dads who have just these amazing journeys through their fitness and their families. And so go check out the Fit Dad Fitness podcast. It's on all the major podcast channels. So that's it, guys. Man.
Well, there you have it. Go check out Michael Ashford, Fit Dad Fitness. Michael, thanks again for coming on the show. And I can't wait to have you on again.
Kyle, thanks so much, man. It would be a pleasure to come on again, and we'll have to have you on the Fit Dad Fitness podcast someday too, man.
Sure thing. Would love it.
Awesome.
All right, Michael. Thanks.
Thank you.